everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Mr. Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering and producing the show. And probably after the show, Tom will be in the market for an Easter leg of lamb. Is that what you're thinking of? No.
Well, you know, I like good ham, but
man, I was going to say you probably are a ham guy.
You can't get good ham outside, I mean, west of the Mississippi, it seems like. Hmm. I'm used to Virginia ham and stuff like that, but
all right. Anyhow. Well, anyway, it is of course Good Friday, and of course for our Jewish friends, we're in the Passover season. Certainly, it's the Passover Easter weekend, and I hope it's a wonderful one for you and your family. To all of our listeners, it is Friday, Good Friday, April 14th, 2017. It is the Buckmaster Show, and it's our Friday Focus interview today. But before we tell you about our guest, I want to do a big shout out to our media partners, our friends who support us at TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiners, and the Three Sonorans. Our Friday Focus interview today, Tom Muir. Did I get it?
That'll get it.
Tom Muir. Tim is the director of Tucson Water. That's origin of French origin, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. Say it correctly for all of us.
The way we've always said it is Tom Muir.
All right. Mr. Tom Muir, director of Tucson Water. And I can pronounce the other Tim's name that's with us in studio, Tim Steller, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. So we've got two Tims and a Bill in the studio today.
Yep. Monsieur Steller at your service.
How was your week, Tim?
It's been kind of rough trying to get these columns out.
Trying to keep them in get them out in a timely fashion.
Oh, yeah.
Slaving over, as we say, a hot typewriter. I can't use that anymore because nobody has typewriters anymore. Right, Tim?
There's a few out there. But
There are a couple. How are we doing as we approach the very warm season here? By May, it kind of is... Your peak season begins, really. Isn't May through September?
That's definitely it. Our high season for water usage. The system's in good shape. We've recently wrapped up a couple of projects that we do a lot of maintenance in the winter, and when we have major projects, we try to get those done in the off-peak season. And things went really well this past winter. A lot of work to be done, but we're wrapping that up, so we'll be ready to go.
And as far as the water supply, how does it look for us?
Water supply is really strong in Tucson. With our conservation ethic, we actually use the same amount of water last year as we did in 1985. So I hate to say it's easy, but because it's certainly not easy, but we are in very good shape from a water supply perspective here in town.
When I came to town a million years ago in 1988, the big story water-wise, Tim, was the fact that our groundwater supply was quickly diminishing. And at that time, in the late 80s, we were the largest metropolitan area in the United States that was totally dependent on groundwater. How has that changed in my nearly 30 years in town?
It's actually gone the complete opposite. While groundwater is still the mechanism we use to manage our water supplies, between the reclaimed water that we use on our golf courses and parks and the Colorado River water that we import to the community, we actually use very little groundwater in Tucson that's not replaced with another supply.
Has the groundwater table come up a bit?
It's come up. It hasn't come all the way back up to where it was before development occurred in the community. But in the last 15 years, in central Tucson, it's come up over 50 feet in the water table.
Wow. Tim Steller.
I was just reading here about the possible plan of putting some water back in the Santa Cruz. Can you tell us about that plan?
Absolutely. It's about a year ago we started looking at what our future plans were for reclaimed water in the community, and we had largely converted the existing turf uses in the community to our purple pipe system. And so we have more reclaimed water in the community than we had a direct use for. So we started looking at how can we leverage that How can we get multiple benefits from it? How can we store it for the future? So we put forth a concept to bring some of that reclaimed water to downtown and discharge it into the Santa Cruz River in the downtown area. Right now we're looking at 29th Street and at Cushing Street. And that water would both recharge the aquifer, but also support riparian habitat and environmental enhancements. And anytime we talk about water in the desert, there's also definitely an economic development tie to that. And so there's some opportunity on the west side of downtown, on the west side of the Santa Cruz River, to use it for economic reasons as well.
What do you mean when you say economic development or economic reasons?
So having water that's visible that you can interact with, whether it's in the river channel itself or in an off-channel feature, that's whenever you can have waterfront property, certainly in Arizona, you've got an opportunity.
Yeah. Could you even brew beer with it?
You know, we're
you'd be surprised, Mr.
Oh, yeah,
Stoll.
I
wait
know I'm not.
The, wait
yeah.
to hear the answer. All right.
We're actually closer to brewing beer than doing any of these other things.
So how does that work, this brewing beer?
So the Arizona Community Foundation annually sponsors their Water Innovation Prize. And there was a Tucson-based team that won it this past year. And the idea is to take a recycled water, treat it to potable water standards, and then partner with craft brewers across the state and brew some beer with it. Mm. So we've got the challenge in front of us. We were selected, and now we're actually building and assembling the treatment facility. And what's unique about it too is it's a truck mounted treatment facility that we can actually take around the state and do treatment in multiple
locations. Mobile brewery, right?
Mobile water treatment.
Okay.
And then the brewing happens across the state.
Did you get a chance to taste any of the experimental beer?
Well, I've done this a couple of times.
Oh.
So there is a Clean Water Services is a group in the Portland area that had done this a couple years ago with one of their local brewers. I've tasted that.
Uh-huh.
Tastes very good. And then last fall in Tampa at a national symposium, there were several brewers from the Tampa Bay area that brewed beer with recycled water. And I can confirm that all of those tasted good.
And they were showing off their products.
Absolutely. And the brewers are a unique breed, and they really take pride in what they do, and they do a good job.
Let's go to the live line, 790-2040. That is the number that Carl called us. Hey, Carl.
Hi. Two things. You're talking about recycled water here. Many, many years ago when I was in Dallas, we got a tour of the Dallas sewer treatment plant. And they had processed the water, and they were filling it into a pond that had an awful lot of fish in it. And the standing joke was, well, how often do they have to replace the fish? But, yeah, the main thing, the big thing, talking about putting water back into the river, right now that river has reached a ecological stasis. It's come to a steady state of some sort. And all of a sudden you're going to change it by putting water in it. What kind of environmental loops are you guys going to have to go through in order to put water out there?
That's a good question. There's actually a couple stages to that. The current environmental stasis, as you put it, that's there, is actually something that's going to have to be looked at closely as well, because there's also been a lot of sedimentation in the river through downtown. So Pima County Flood Control District is actually looking at what is the flood conveyance capacity of the river, and maybe they might have to do some maintenance in that channel. So our goal is to try to match up what maintenance might need to be done with what the future environmental habitat might look like. But you're certainly right. Right now it's just based on, you know, periodic flows when we have floodwaters. This would be converting it toward a more regular flow and perhaps the ability to support certainly wildlife, but also maybe even aquatic life. And so we're working closely with folks. There's ecologists from the Sonoran Institute. There's representatives of the Community Water Coalition and a number of other stakeholders who we've been meeting with, because certainly if we do this, we want to do this right and something that can be a community benefit in perpetuity.
And there used to be a year-round flow in that river. a long time ago.
You know, that's a good point. Yeah. When you look at the area around A Mountain,
right,
and you look a little bit further upstream, that was perennial flow in the Santa Cruz River. And it sounds like a long time ago, but there's even photographs from the 20s and 30s and people with a living memory of a living river through downtown. So it was really around World War II and the population boom after that, that part of the Santa Cruz River went dry. So it's, you know, we often strike a balance between what the future looks like, but if we can dovetail with the past, then I think we're in a good space.
All right, we'll take our break right here, exactly 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back talking more about water after the break. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Celebrate Earth Day at UA Biosphere 2 Saturday, April 22nd with a special all-day event featuring a sunset concert by Calexico. Taste Tucson's future food, enjoy hands-on activities designed to engage and educate, and hear insights on global issues from leading scientists. Experience our renowned tours and find out why Time Life Books named Biosphere 2 a must-see wonder of the world. An exciting day of dialogue and discovery. Info and tickets at biosphere2.org.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday at noon, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators John Munger and Vince Robigo. Plus, Dr. Andrew Weil will be my guest, answering your questions on Buckmaster, AM 1030 KVOI, worldwide live listening podcasts and show archive on my site, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, and as you just heard in the promo, he's probably one of the most familiar faces in America with the beard and everything, Dr. Andrew Weil. And he'll be my guest for a half an hour on the show on Monday. So file that away and think about health questions. Dr. Weil will be answering questions from all of our listeners for a half an hour. But right now it is our Friday Focus interview. Tim Tamur is with us, the director of Tucson Water. Tim, we were talking, also another Tim with us, Tim Steller from the Arizona Daily Star. Before the break, we were talking about putting water back in the Santa Cruz. Are we talking, what kind of, is it like bank to bank, or is it going to be maybe a little trickle of a stream that animals could enjoy, or what?
It's much more toward the lower end of that volume. It's there's not enough water in our control to actually make the river flow bank to bank, and that's actually not really how the Santa Cruz River has functioned historically. It's really a stream, small stream in the river bottom that would meander through the downtown area, supporting riparian habitat and wildlife.
And people have lived at the base of the Santa Cruz for thousands of years. So, and that water is the reason that we had those civilizations here.
That's absolutely correct. And something I learned quite recently mm-hmm. is that in the U.S., the Tucson area is the longest continuously inhabited area and continuously cultivated area. Dating back thousands of years.
All right. Tim Steller, a question about Tucson Water, which serves 80% of the entire Tucson Valley.
Yep. So one of the things that's always gotten to me is that it seems that the more we conserve water, and we have on a per capita basis, the more we pay for water on a per unit basis. Is that right, and why would that be?
That is correct. That's largely driven by there's a predominantly fixed cost to own, operate, and maintain the system, all the built infrastructure we have, our water resource portfolio. So the vast majority of our costs are fixed and don't vary with the amount of water we deliver. So when we deliver less water, the unit cost does go up.
So can that be changed if you add customers? In other words, through annexations or whatever else may happen, that is, could the per unit cost be limited by that?
That's a good point. That's certainly true. The more customer demand we would have on the system, as long as we're all still using it with good conservation ethic, that does drive the unit cost down. And certainly when the city and or communities go through infill, and you're tapping into existing infrastructure, that does certainly make it more efficient. We recently did do, because this question does come up quite often, we did have a study performed on both Tucson Water and Pima County Wastewater about what we call the avoided costs that we would have incurred if we hadn't done the conservation. And this study is just about to be finalized. We've done a verbal report to mayor and council on it. And actually, both your water and the wastewater rates in Tucson would be a minimum of 17% higher if we hadn't had the conservation. So even though the unit costs have gone up, the total cost of water and wastewater services are lower than they would be otherwise. How could that be? It's essentially major projects that would have had to be built to secure, treat, deliver the water, and then treat and discharge the wastewater that we've not had to do yet and have been deferred. So actually, even though the unit costs have gone up, they've not gone up as fast as they would have otherwise.
So that conservation has really paid off over the years. If folks have been around here a while, they remember
Pete the Beak, I think.
And said, don't water at certain times of the day. Thank you, Tim, for
sure.
helping me out with that.
Yeah, Pete's still around. He's not
help
as
a... Help me, Pete, wherever you are. Yeah. I need your help right now, buddy.
He's no Andrew Weil. He's not the most recognized.
He's not
face
very recognized.
But he made an appearance at the Saba Home Show this last weekend.
Goodness.
So he came by the booth and entertain the crowd.
Well, he can come and surprise me any day. I'm here noon to 1. Marana and water is the next question from Matthew. Go ahead, Matthew. How are you, sir?
Very good. I thought it was beat the peak, but I I'm going back
beat,
well too.
You're right. Beat the peak.
Yeah. But Pete the beak is water, the
creature, yeah. the comic.
The creature, you're right.
Yeah.
Right,
okay.
Right,
right. Okay. Go ahead, Matthew.
Hey, a couple. Speaking of Mayor and Council, a couple of Mayor and Council meetings ago, you went before them to, along with staff and Mike Ortega, to try and extend water to Marana School District so that they can build a school near the Ritz. If I remember it, I think it was there. But I guess they were just outside the Tucson boundary for Tucson Water. I know that that sort of seemed to, like, you know, be a set plan, and then it sort of all fell apart as council grilled you. Any status on that? Because I think with all these new companies coming into town, we desperately need elementary schools wherever we can get them. Thank you. Bye.
Okay.
So you are correct. That discussion was held with council. And you're also correct that where the school was originally proposed is outside of our water service area. So that was the discussion we were having that day. Since that time, the school district has been working on still siting the school, but doing it where it would be within our service area or within an area where Marana Water could serve them. So I think they understood the difficult layers to that question and what they were trying to accomplish. And so they're seeking a more direct path forward in an already approved location.
All right. Water conservation, we touched on this a few moments ago. It really is one of the success stories here in Tucson. A lot of people like to blame everyone else. The town is really going to, you know,
downhill
yeah,
fast,
there you go. It's going downhill very fast. But in water conservation, we are near the top, aren't we, of cities this size?
We often think of ourselves as number one, and sometimes we are, but but not always.
So the mayor has come put together, what is that, the Challenge for Water Conservation?
That's correct. There's a National Mayor's Challenge for Water Conservation, and it pains me to say this, but we have finished in second place 3 years in a row. I think we finished second to Corpus Christi, Texas a couple years ago, and Aurora, Colorado. I'm getting tired of sending them congratulations for finishing first.
Aurora.
So we've won this in the past. Mm-hmm. We've been second. We've been first runner up a few years running, and boy, we'd love. We're in second place right now for this year's challenge. So we'd love to tip the balance.
You know, we haven't talked at all about the big looming thing, which is issue, which is warming, global warming. And obviously last month we had some rare stretch of incredibly warm days for March.
It was the warmest March, Tim, since I've been keeping
on record. Right, yeah. Right. So obviously this is something you all are aware of, but can you project adequately the change in climate to know whether we have sufficient water supply for an adequate time period?
We certainly have a good understanding over the next few decades of how our existing water supplies match up with what demands may look like, but there's certainly uncertainty out there. We do have a number of resources we draw from in order to predict what that global climate change may do to our part of the country, and it affects both sides of the equation. It you know, a hotter, drier community may have an increased water demand, and if we don't get the snowpack or the precipitation in the form that we're used to getting it, that could affect our supply side of it. We have to be adaptable, and that's something that Tucson and Tucsonans have done well for thousands of years, and certainly the last 100 years, specifically in the modern times. So it is always going to be part of the conversation, and we can never rest on our laurels and think we've got this figured out. we're always going to have to figure out the next step.
The practice of directly treating wastewater for drinking, it's often referred to as toilet to tap, that may become legal in Arizona by the end of the year?
It may become legal by the end of the year, certainly. That would be an interim program, and that's not something that Tucson's looking at under the interim rules by any stretch. In fact, I'm not aware of anybody that's really queuing up with the state to try to do it right
but
now.
But it's being done other places.
It's being done. Big Spring, Texas is the big one that we all talk about. Wichita Falls had it for a period of time. And there's a couple of facilities in California as well that may not be as direct as toilet to tap, but they are potable reuse, and I've actually been to both and consumed the water there.
All right, we're going to wrap it up, but I know you're a big hockey fan. You've been supporting the Tucson Roadrunners downtown this year. You have season tickets. How did you think the season went?
The season was awesome. Go Runners, and it was it's close to making me a Coyotes fan.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a lifelong St. Louis Blues fan, but I actually pay attention to the Coyotes.
And, Tim, you follow the North Star.
Bill, they haven't existed for 30 years.
I know. That's why I wanted you. I know.
All right, all
but
right.
You do follow Minnesota hockey.
A little bit. Not too much anymore. It's been too long.
All right. Had to have a little fun there with you. Anyway, Tim, thank you very much. Tim Tamur.
All right, thank
with
you so us,
much. Director of Tucson Water. Jim Nintzel is up next, and that's going to come up on our Friday roundtable. We'll be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine, Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Amol Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review. Plus, Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at SOAZNewsX.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Joining us on the Friday Roundtable, Jim Nintzel, senior writer, columnist. He's been doing the weekly for many, many years, his skinny column, and his TV show is returning to 6:30, but not to the place where it once was.
You're doing on with the time, 6:30.
His show is returning to the time of 6:30, starting tonight. Tim Steller with us, by the way, Tim, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Jim, you go ahead. Fill in the blanks for me.
Yeah, well, we are working with this new community media center that the city of Tucson has created. It's called Creative Tucson. I had a cover story about it in the Weekly last week. And they have graciously put me on the air at 6:30 Friday nights and 9 a.m. Sunday mornings on channel 20 on your Cox cable system and channel 74 on your Comcast cable system. And we're also going to be streaming online as well as doing a little Facebook Live, I think, is our next experiment. We actually taped our first episode last night, and it went out live on the channel as kind of a test run. And we have Congressman Grijalva and Congressman O'Halloran on our first episode. So I hope folks can tune in, and if you don't catch it on the cable stations, you can catch it on zonapolitics.com as soon as we can get our YouTube upload taken care of.
Interesting. It'll be interesting will you be able to know where more people are viewing it, that is, online, on the various cable stations, et cetera?
I don't think we have any kind of sophisticated rating system for the cable system. But we certainly will be able to track how many people are watching online through those YouTube views. So it's going to be a real interesting experiment, and I'm excited as can be that the folks at Creative Tucson are supporting this action and delighted to be back on TV.
Yeah, and well, as you and I both know very well, 6:30 on Friday night is a very good time period for a public affairs TV show.
It certainly is, and I talk to people a lot who say they miss seeing me at 6:30 on Friday nights, so hopefully we can build that audience back up.
And then prior to you, I still get a few people in the supermarket that say, Bill, I love the you on Arizona Illustrated.
It's been a few years.
Hey, Jim, it is the political season. We've got our first candidate officially in for a governor, and this is Dr. David Garcia. He teaches, I believe, up at ASU, teaches education. He had a very good run for Secretary of Superintendent of Public Instruction. Good in that it was a good showing. It was very close. He did lose in the end to Michelle Reagan, and now he's running for governor.
Actually, it was Superintendent of Public Instruction against Diane Douglas.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay, sorry about
that. But he came closer than any Democrat to winning, and we've certainly seen some weird stuff coming from Diane Douglas ever since she won that office, especially this last week where she lashed out in a fairly incomprehensible letter to lawmakers about a story at the Arizona Republic when she couldn't deliver data regarding these empowerment scholarships. But that aside, yeah, David is certainly a legit candidate. You know, Steve Farley's still talking about that race. And we really can't forget that other fella who jumped in the race a few weeks back talking about his...
Transparency,
his,
right?
What's that?
Is that Mr. Transparency?
Yeah, the
Noah
transparency
Dyer?
Fella.
Yeah.
The one who confessed all of his scandals right up front.
Right. I have made sex tapes. I have exchanged explicit
oh my
images.
Goodness.
It's always been consensual,
oh my
and I
goodness.
Hope to have more of it in the future. I believe that's I'm paraphrasing.
Somehow I missed that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He's very upset that he's not getting enough attention with the announcement of David Garcia. He feels the Democratic Party is working against him and not treating him fairly.
Yeah.
So,
well.
It is indeed the political season.
But so, Bill, you mentioned that he came closer, or maybe that was you, Jim, than any other Democrat to winning a statewide office.
No, I said it was a very close race.
It was.
But I got the who he was beaten by. I got that
sure,
wrong.
Sure, Diane
okay.
Douglas.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and that's looking at it from the bright side from Garcia's perspective. But I think from a more realistic perspective, everyone expected him to win.
Mm-hmm.
And because Douglas was such a far-out candidate. Mm-hmm. And so I have to look at that and go, if he couldn't win superintendent of public instruction against a bad, poorly supported candidate, what makes him think he can win against a relatively, somewhat mildly popular governor with a ton of resources backing him?
It's a good question.
And you can expect Doug Ducey to have millions of dollars.
Oh, my God.
Race,
yeah.
As well as a lot of dark money backing on the side.
Yep. So Farley is still, from what I understand, Senator Farley is still very much thinking about a run for governor. So we could conceivably have a primary here with Garcia and Farley, huh?
Yeah, and this other fella.
And the
And I think,
third
you know,
candidate.
Jim makes a very good point that if the Democrats were going to win a statewide race, that superintendent of public instruction certainly seemed like the lowest hanging fruit in 2014. I do think that the national mood may be different in 2018, and I think national mood affects a lot of this stuff, but I certainly would not put Democrats have a hard time winning statewide for some time now in the state, and we'll have to wait and see if that changes as a result of what's happening. But you are seeing some real interesting results in that Kansas race for that congressional seat this last year or this last week, and some interesting maneuvers in this Georgia congressional race. And I'm not saying those are bellwethers for Arizona, but I am saying that you are seeing national mood starting to affect some on the ground races around the country that should be easy Republican wins that are turning out to be tighter than expected.
And fundraising, from what I understand, a report just out today that Democratic fundraising nationwide has been way off the charts, doing very well. So that leads me to the congressional district number 2 race. Martha McSally has a huge war chest at her disposal, and we have a candidate who is kind of the first candidate who's emerged in an exploratory sense. He's a former congressional candidate. He's a pilot for JetBlue. He's a former Air Force fighter pilot, which would be an interesting contrast with Martha McSally. He's Jeff Lattis. Your thoughts on that, Tim Stiller, and then Jim Nitzel.
Jeff has been around for a while, very active in Democratic Party politics for a period. I would think that as a candidate, his fighter pilot experience, this is the way he put it to me, his fighter pilot experience kind of neutralizes her fighter pilot experience. So you can kind of throw that aside as a personality
the
issue.
The Top Gun category.
Yeah, the Top
is
Gun
neutralized.
Issue is neutralized. And so, as he put it, then we can throw that aside and just talk about the issues. I mean, I don't know if that's the case, that it'll be, if he were to win, that it would be just about the issues. But I would say he has some possible strengths as a candidate, no question.
No question. What do you think, Nitzel?
Well, he had a rough go in the primary that Gabby Giffords won in 2006. I think he was in single digits in that one. You know, you had former newscaster Patty Weiss and Gabby Giffords taking the big leads in that particular race. So he's been around the block, but he didn't have the best run that year. He's a smart guy. It is a very competitive district, and I think national mood's going to play a role in that one as well. And you're definitely seeing the Democrats already hammering away at Martha McSally, a TV ad this week hitting her over the Obamacare vote. Also, these questions about some issues that are got people pretty riled up with this vote to strip the FCC of its rulemaking ability over privacy issues with your internet service providers, I know, is on a lot of people's minds, and as is Planned Parenthood. And so in a competitive district, in a year where a wave might be moving in the direction of the Democrats, certainly Martha McSally has something to be worried about. But as you pointed out, she's a great fundraiser, $750,000 in the first quarter of this year alone. And she has, you know, I think fits the district really well with that veteran population that it has and the two Air Force bases and a solid biography and a really a rising star within the Republican Party and perhaps heir apparent to John McCain's seat. So they're definitely going to be fighting to keep her in there.
And I think, Tim, you wrote about a little bit about Jeff Lattis today in your column. I think he's kind of sort of testing the waters to see who else perhaps might emerge.
Absolutely.
So I think this is to kind of get the ball rolling. And it's not too early to get the ball rolling.
Oh, not at all. I mean, it's clear that there remains a place for a high-profile candidate in that race. And I would think that if such a candidate came in, someone like Lattis would probably step out.
Are you thinking of Mr. Kelly? Captain Kelly?
No, not really. All I mean is a better known figure with political experience. Mm-hmm. And on this question of the national mood, Jim's brought it up a couple of times. I think he's right that that's a huge factor, and it's really unclear whether it's going to play out. There have been times in the past when we thought Democrats were going to have a, you know, big flood, an overflow of voting participation, and it just hasn't happened. Maybe the election of Donald Trump will create that that reaction, but I've stopped believing in that until I see it.
We've been hearing about it for years,
yeah,
that the Hispanic factor in Arizona was going to be huge. But some of these town halls, Jim Nenzel, like the Flake, Senator Flake's town hall last night, I guess it got pretty wild up in Mesa. There seems to be a lot of energy on the Democratic side.
There does. I think Democrats are probably more energized now than they've been in a long time. The other interesting rumor you're hearing in CD2 is that Ann Kirkpatrick, who has family here, is interested in jumping into that race. And Ann has proven to be a good fundraiser, but she previously represented Congressional District 1 and then ran against John McCain last year and has proven that she can win a competitive district. However, Martha's going to be pretty formidable, and Ann would certainly be open to charges of carpetbagging in that kind of a situation.
This outrage over school vouchers, you wonder if it and how deep is the outrage? Will it carry over into the governor's race next year? I mean, right now it's a hot issue. Tim, you wrote, I think it was in your column Wednesday, don't expect that public school teachers are going to vouch for the governor. Public school teachers are not real happy about this.
Yes,
but
it is, what, April 2017,
yes.
And who knows what will happen between now and then. I think this feeling of betrayal, you know, that word betrayal has been floating around a lot because people in public education do have a real sense of betrayal by the governor for his having supported this, even though it's watered down, this expansion of vouchers in the state of Arizona.
Jim?
Yeah, I do think that legislation has a lot of people in the educational community upset because they feel like they had worked with Ducey on this Prop 123 last year, the one that busted open the state trust to provide more education funding. And certainly when Ducey did his State of the State this year and he laid out his 15 different priorities for improving education in the state, an expansion of the voucher program was not among them. And they do certainly, having seen that he got into this whole thing and really pressured Republicans who were opposed to this legislation to flip and start supporting it, that he obviously had a direct hand in ensuring that this passed. And it certainly has the education community and many others upset.
Yeah, his office told me that what got him on board was the changes in the bill that made it that capped its expansion and all that. And that's probably it. I mean, that allowed him to become a vocal supporter. But you have to also wonder about the who will support him because of his endorsement of these vouchers. And I'm talking here about the big money donors from the various billionaire donor networks, such as the Koch brothers and the Mercers and others who can't stand what they call government schools.
All right. Going to have to run.
And you saw, okay. I was going to say, you saw the Goldwater Institute come out right after that and say those caps are going away.
That's right.
I believe Darcy Olson made that quote. Jim Nentzel, it's good to have you back on TV at 6:30 tonight. And again, you will be on what channel?
Channel 20 on your Cox system, channel 74 on your Comcast system, and streaming at zonapolitics.com.
Zona Politics. Thank you, Jim Nentzel. Have a great weekend and a great Easter. Oh, thanks, Jim.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Tim, the best to you and your family also this Easter weekend. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Celebrate Earth Day at UA Biosphere 2 Saturday, April 22nd with a special all-day event featuring a sunset concert by Calexico. Taste Tucson's future food, enjoy hands-on activities designed to engage and educate, and hear insights on global issues from leading scientists. Experience our renowned tours and find out why Time Life Books named Biosphere 2 a must-see wonder of the world. An exciting day of dialogue and discovery. Info and tickets at biosphere2.org.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
All right, time for Weekend Watch, presented by Grant County and Silver City, New Mexico. It's just a three-hour road trip east of Tucson, a great getaway in the beautiful, beautiful mile-high elevation of Silver City, historic Silver City. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. The full listing of several dozen great things to do, like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, or just exploring downtown Silver City. And there are great places to stay again, southwestnewmexico.org. The host of Weekend Watch, Inside Tucson business, food, and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell, who luckily was able to, the dry cleaners got out his pink bunny suit to wear to Russell Public Communication into the office today. People would have been very disappointed if the bunny had not shown up today.
I tell you what, Bill, this is the only day of the year I could get away with it. I mean, can you imagine if I walked into work in the middle of July and this thing, they'd have to call the authorities.
What? Any tips for us for the Easter table?
Yeah, you know, Easter at the Russell House always means plenty of wine with our hams and our lambs. But what wines are the best for pairing with traditional Easter fare? Our friends over at Catavinos Wine Shop on Alvernon, they're conducting a special wine tasting today and tomorrow from 4 to 8 p.m. They're going to be showcasing six wines that are musts for this springtime celebration. Whether you're a red person, white, or even pink, you'll leave with some wines that belong on your table this Sunday, no matter what you're going to be serving. And, of course, at Catavinos, no wine is more than $15 a bottle.
Good deal. Any culinary openings, grand openings?
Another new restaurant, Bill, is going to be opening this weekend in the same spot that used to be Bluefin for so many years. It's called Teaspoon in the Casas Adobas Plaza on Oracle and Ina, and it specializes in one of my favorite meals of the week, brunch.
Ooh.
Open every day from 6:30 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. They serve up a selection of savory and sweet brunchy dishes, from steak and eggs Benedict to hazelnut chocolate crepes. They even have a cool coffee and pastry lounge. I think this is a great new concept to try this Easter weekend.
What if the family would enjoy dining out on Easter, Matt?
Absolutely. You know, ham and lamb may dominate the culinary conversation for Easter, but leave it to Chef Doug Levy of Feast to integrate a little happiness, or should I say hoppiness, to his holiday menu. Look out, Bill, here comes Peter Cottontail. It's a slow-cooked leg of rabbit.
What?
Served over gnocchi with English peas, butter-braised leeks, blood oranges. If bunnies ain't your thing, there's plenty more conventional dishes to enjoy for a memorable Easter meal at Feast.
What's in the column in Inside Tucson Business?
Well, how did a century-old gunfight in the Galliero Mountains near Mammoth, Arizona, inspire the name of a new beer that is going to be launched locally next week? It's a story about gold, guts, and glory, and you can read all about it in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
A blessed Easter to you. Thank you, sir.
Right back to you, Bill. Thanks.
The Bill Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. I do want to do a big shout out to a young German composer. His name is Christophan. His music, there's a link at Buckmaster Show. He did the original theme music for the Buckmaster Show. Call in live on Easter and sell your Easter eggs that have been passed over on Swap Shop with Mr. Charles Heller, Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Liberty Watch and America Armed and Free. A big shout-out thank you to Tom Fairbanks, my engineer, producer, does a great job here on Friday. The entire team here at KVOI giving us such wonderful support, from Doug and Mary Martin on down to all of the employees of Good News Communication. Thank you for your support. And, of course, my assistant, Rosemary Brandt. All of us say to you, our listeners, have a blessed Easter and Passover season.